chapter 5. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. We'll put, like we've already said, that we'll put chairs out next week. We'll make sure we have people that can seat you in things, so make sure you try to bring people. It's a good opportunity because sometimes people that normally won't come might come at Easter time, and we won't holler at them for coming at Easter time. We'd be glad to have them. You know what I mean? And invite somebody and pray that the Lord would save souls and do this thing for this morning. The Gospel of John chapter 5 is where we're going to be at, and we're going to look at verses 24 and verse 25. This has always been one of my favorite texts. So before I read it, I was going to announce this too. On Sunday evenings, we're doing question sermons, and the question sermon tonight, and I get this, I've got this several different times, but I'm going to try to be a little bit more more explanation in it. Why does Elizabeth Baptist practice rebaptism and close communion? That's two good questions, isn't it? And I'm going to deal with that tonight. So if you want to know why we do that, you come tonight and hear the message on that particular subject. We're doing this every Sunday night. We're answering questions. You got a question about a doctrine, a text, or why we do a certain thing, we're going to explain it on Sunday evenings. And we'll run that till we run out of questions. So be sure to remember that. Okay? Let's all stand and show respect to the reading of the Scriptures, John chapter 5. Ain't going to hurt you to stand a little bit. I'm standing off service, so it'll be all right. John chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 24 and 25. Verily I say unto you, he that hears my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath, present tense, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for the privilege of preaching your word. Not able to do it, Lord, in and of myself, I pray that you'd grant the unction of the Spirit of God on me as I preach today. We pray that for anybody here today lost, we pray that perhaps someone would trust Jesus here in this congregation today. We pray that your people will be uplifted, and we pray that the power of the Spirit of the living God would be in this meeting today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm gonna give this a title of Salvation Explained. Salvation Explained. John 5:24 has always been one of my favorite texts. It's very, explains a lot. There's a lot in John 5:24. And I like to preach from it. And with it today, I've added also verse 25. So the message title is Salvation Explained. Now, what I'm going to do in my outline, I'm going to give you two necessities. There's two necessities for salvation that I want you to see this morning. And that'll be in verse 24. And then the second point is going to be the three blessings. I'm going to present out of these two verses three particular great blessings that you have in Christ Jesus. And then what we'll do is we'll talk about two resurrections. You realize there's just not one resurrection. There's how many? There's two resurrections. So those are the three main points that we're going to look at today. And the message title is Salvation Explained. I dearly love to see somebody saved here today. And this is just not for lost people, but it's also for saved people. There's a lot of great blessings in this text. These texts are gold mines, son. I'm telling you, there's some great things in them, and we're going to look at them. Now, here in our very first point today, we'll look at two necessities. And these are two necessities with regard to salvation. Two necessities. For someone to be saved, for someone to trust Jesus, there's two necessities that's mentioned in verse 24 that I want you to see. The first one here is, it says, "Verily I say unto you," in verse 24, "he that heareth my word." Now, in order for a sinner to be saved, they got to hear the word. It's very important that we're not hard shells. We've been called hard shells all my life, I guess, but we're not hard shells. We believe that you have to present the gospel, and that kills hard shellism. Some people say, "Well, if they get saved, they'll get saved." Well, that I know the Lord was going to save His people, but He saves by the foolishness of preaching. He saves by the spreading of the gospel, and He uses His people to do that. Isn't that a blessing to be able to share the gospel message with somebody that's lost? So that kills really hard shellism. People need to hear the gospel. People need to hear the gospel. And that's what this verse is pointing to here at the very first part of it. He that heareth my word. People need to hear it. Romans 10 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So they need to hear the word. Now, I preach the word from the pulpit every week, but when we leave this place as a congregation, each of us should seek to share that message with somebody during the week. What I'm going to ask you to do, and it's just going to be something simple, I'm going to ask you if you would, you're here this morning and born again, I'm going to ask you to pray every day that the Lord would open up you a door to share the gospel with somebody. Now, how many will do that? For me. I'm asking. Now, if you ain't going to do it, don't raise your hand. How many will do it? Raise your hand again. I want to see how many. Now, beloved, if we all do that, that's going to make a big difference. Because we have not because we, and that applies to salvation, too. We pray daily that the Lord would open a door of utterance so that we can share the gospel to them. With this being, hey, bring a friend Sunday next week, especially at Easter time. You can invite someone to come and hear the message. We want people to come in. And if you invite somebody, they come in and they can listen. And times people get saved that way. Because someone did what? Someone prayed and someone invited them and asked them to come in. So I'm going to ask you to do that. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So people need to hear. You need to bring them under the sound of the scriptures. Oh, I even like how that sounded, don't you? You got to bring them under the sound of the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit will take can take God's word and open the hearts of an old dead sinner. We need to think that way. We need to pray that way too. A church can never lose vision of the salvation of the sinner. And we got a great opportunity today and the week coming up in order to witness to other people about the things of the Lord. So, he that hears the word, he that hears the word is a necessity that people hear it. They must hear it. That's what, as I've already said, that's what separates you from hardshellism. Hardshellism don't believe you have to even present the gospel. You're going to get saved, you're going to get saved. Well, I believe the Lord is the one that saves the sinner, don't get me wrong. But I also believe that He has entrusted us with the gospel message to share it. Who better to share it than those that have trusted Jesus as their Savior? We cannot lose vision of the salvation of the sinner. Praying for them, praying for their souls, and then seeking to get them the message so that they can hear it and so that they can trust it. So, you need to hear the word. How many believes you need to hear the word? Raise your right hand. You got to hear it. You got to hear it. They got to hear it. And there's people that I'm not around, that you're around, that you need to, they need to hear it from you. They need to hear you say it. They need to hear you share it. And there's some people that won't listen to the preacher, but they might listen to their buddy. They might listen to their buddy share this message. So, people have to hear the word. You got to hear the word. And in particular, the word that this is speaking of in the text is the gospel message. They need to hear it. Now, let's move on. Verily I say, he that hears my word and does what? You got to believe the word. Once they hear it, it's more than we want them to hear it, right? But we also want them to do what? Believe it. And to believe just doesn't mean just to believe Jesus existed, or doesn't mean to believe just to believe in a God. What it means to trust in Him. The word believe means to trust, to put your confidence of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what it means. When you say you believe in Jesus, it's more than, like I said, 2,000 years ago, you can look in a history book, and there was a man that walked this planet in Israel by the name of Jesus. It's more than that. You got to share the message, and you got to explain to them that they need to trust the message. Just not know what it is, and just not believe that there's a God, or believe that there's a creator, all that's true. To be saved, listen, you got to trust Jesus as your Savior. That has to be done. And there's a lot of people that believe certain things and they think they're okay. And they're not okay because they've never truly trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So you got to hear the word. Then what do you have to do? You got to believe the word. You got to trust in the word. Hear and believe it. Hear and trust it. And when you do that, what does the Lord do? He saves your soul. He gives you everlasting life. Most important thing in the world. You know, Romans 10:13 says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever does what? See, it simplifies it. See, what I'm trying to do, everything's just so difficult, but it's simplified. You got to simplify things sometimes when you explain things to folks. You got to simplify it, make it a little bit easier. Now, you can't make somebody understand, don't get me wrong, but you can simplify how some people get so dogmatic with certain things that people don't understand what they're saying. But watch this, how simplified this is. Hear the word. Believe the word. It's a hear the word and do what? Trust the word. And the word believe means to trust, to put your confidence in the word. And put your confidence in the gospel. Everybody got that? Hear the word. Believe the word. That's what we do. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So you present the word. And people need to hear it. People need to have an understanding of it. All right. Verily I say, he that hears my word and does what else? Believeth on him that sent me. Now what do they have? That's just as simple as can be, isn't it? What I wanted to do today is just simple it up. Because sometimes people think it's so hard, but of course we realize that it takes the Holy Spirit to work and all, but just look at the verse. That's what I want you to do. Hear the word. Believe the word. Let's say it together. Hear the word. Believe the word. That's what it says. Now it says, he that believes on him that sent me, what's he have? Now see, half is in the present tense. Many times you put everlasting life way off in the future somewhere. But the life that you receive the day you're born again, it's everlasting life. You really want to know what the greatest possession that I have? It's everlasting life. There's nothing greater than that. There's nothing more important than that. And everlasting life is said to be a gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. You don't earn eternal life. He gives it to you. It's a gift of God. You know who bought and paid for that gift? I mean, if it's a gift, somebody had to purchase it, didn't they? Who purchased it? Who paid the great price for it? Jesus did. Now, I'm with y'all on this one. I'm not worth that kind of gift. But for some reason, it's grace. God put great value on me. Did God put great value on you? He did. I mean, you think about how great of a value that would be that He would do such a thing for us to give us what kind of life? Everlasting life. Now, I want you to know that when you're born again, you have that right now. Lonnie, you have everlasting life right now. I may die or go up in the rapture, and one or the other, I'm going up, you know what I mean? I may die, but I still have everlasting life. Now, if I die today or next week or whenever, my spirit's going to leave this body when that happens. That's what death is. And we often say from the scriptures, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that means your spirit leaves your body when you die. You remember when Jesus died, He said, "Father, unto thy hand I commend my spirit." And Jesus, the Bible says, yielded up the ghost. And that means the ghost, we think a ghost, we think of a sheet or something, you know, or a ghost in that sense. But He's talking about His spirit. His spirit left His body, and it went to be with the Father. And that's true of every child of God. That's a glorious thing, isn't it? That's a glorious thing. So, you got to hear the word, then you got to do what again? I'm asking. You got to believe the word, which means to trust the word. Not just, you know, believe as a historical fact, it's to trust it. And you got to know the difference between the two. You hear the word, you believe the word. And then what does He give you in verse 24 again? How long's that? You give it today, you believe. Yeah, you get it today, you believe. It's everlasting life. And that's what salvation is. Everlasting life isn't a temporary life. I have it right now. What's the greatest possession you own? I'm asking. Everlasting life is the greatest possession that you have. There's nothing any greater than having everlasting life. People need to realize the importance of that, and the greatest importance of that is everlasting life. What do you want for your children? What do you want for your children? What do you want for your friends? What do you want for your coworkers? What do you want them to have? Everlasting life. I mean, what good is life without everlasting life? People talk... Everybody likes to be successful. We want to be successful. You know, we want our children to be successful. What's successful mean? I mean, in the world, what does successful mean? Yeah, material things. How about money? Oh, you know, I can talk to somebody maybe went to school with or something, and you ask them how they're doing, and they'll tell you how much money they're making. That's success. If you make a lot of money, you're what? That's how America is. People, there's a lot of idols in America, but I want to tell you the main idol is covetousness. People live for money. Success is proved by what? Money. Don't mean nothing. The day you die, your bank account's going to stay here. That bank account ain't going to go with you, and that home ain't going to go with you. Y'all agree with me or not? That home ain't going to go with you. That bank account ain't going to go with you. None of those worldly things that people live for is going to go with them. I remember an old-timer said one time, they asked him, somebody died that was next to him, and they said, How much did he take with him? How much did he leave behind? He said, all of it. It all stays behind. You don't take none of those things with you. Beloved, that's not riches. Scripture speaks of having durable riches. You know what durable riches is, Eddie? It's riches that last. It's riches that transition the grave. See? Durable riches. Everlasting life is the greatest possession that I have. Do y'all agree? There's nothing greater than having everlasting life. If I die today, I go off to be with the Lord, and I'll be there forever. Y'all got me? I'll go off to be with Him, and I'll be there forever. But if you don't have everlasting life, the day you die, you'll lose everything you have, including your soul. The Scripture says, what does it profit to gain the whole world but lose your soul? And what shall man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing more valuable than having eternal life. Nothing more valuable than that. All the things that people live for stays behind. Stays here. Usually for somebody to fight over. Hear the word. Believe the word. And He'll give you everlasting life. There's lost people here today. What are you living for? You need everlasting life. You need to know you're saved. You need to know you're born again. And if you don't know that, that's a scary place to live. That's a scary place to be. I think I've done. Now, I've got all this all messed up. You know, I've pastored for 38 years. I don't know how many funeral services I've done. It's been in 8 years. I've done 100 funeral services in 8 years. Now, that's not counting all those other years. It's not counting all those kinds of things. And when you do that many services, you know what it teaches you, don't you? How worldly things don't matter. People don't take, you don't take it with you. People live their whole life for things that's going to stay here. And they're going to go out into eternity without anything at all. So you need what? To hear the word, believe the word, and have everlasting life. That's durable riches. That's what I got. I'm going to die or Jesus is going to come, but either way, I have everlasting life. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I don't want to embarrass nobody. But I'm going to ask this whole congregation today, do you have everlasting life? Do you have it? Do you have it now? Are you thinking about it? I'm going to tell you to quit thinking about it. You need to quit thinking about it and trust it. You need to do something about it today before it's eternally too late. Before it's eternally too late. There needs to be, is what I'm trying to tell you, a sense of urgency about this thing. People don't have a sense of urgency about it because people think, well, I believe what Jeff is saying, but I just don't want to do it right now. I just want to wait a bit. That's gambling. That's gambling with your soul. You don't know you're going to have extra time. You don't know you're going to have an opportunity. And we know that death can overtake you when you're not. You know how quick death can take over. Boy, I miss Rick and Ramona back there. I miss them back there. Now, I know where they're at. I know where they're at. I know they had everlasting life. And I also know that they're better off than we are. But that just shows you how fast it can come. Do y'all agree with it? It just shows you how fast it can hit. Everybody here believes. I think everybody here today believes what I'm saying, even the sinner people. But they're gambling that they're going to have another time. See, they're gambling. I'm going to have another day. I'm going to have another time. I believe it, but just not now. I've done a lot of those services over the years. Jeff, was he all right? I don't know. I told them. They knew. I described it. I gave them CDs. I told them, but I don't know. I know they knew. But I don't know whether they trusted or not. That's sad, ain't it? That's sad. Hear the word. Believe the word. Hear the word. Believe the word. Now, there's three blessings that he gives you. I give you two necessities. Hear the word and what? Believe the word. Okay. Now, let me give you three blessings that goes with that. An unmentioned one is everlasting life. Isn't that great to have everlasting life? Isn't that a great deal? Everlasting life. That's a great blessing. That's the first blessing. Everlasting life. But notice what the next blessing is. Shall not come into condemnation. What's condemnation? Being condemned to hell is basically what it is. Yeah. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So there's three blessings that comes to those who trust Jesus. They have everlasting life and they don't have no condemnation. What happened to their condemnation? Think about it. Who took all of our condemnation for us? Jesus did. He was condemned so we never would be. He was condemned in our place. You see, we have a substitute. The substitute was Jesus. God loved Jeff Arthur so much, he provided Jesus to pay the condemnation price for me. I don't deserve that. But I got that. That's what salvation by grace means. That's a glorious thing. I'm not condemned. I won't go to condemnation. It's going to hell is what it is. Being condemned to hell is what it is. No condemnation. The blessings are everlasting life, no condemnation. And then number three, it's passing from death unto life. See, I was dead. Lonnie, I was a dead man. Not physically dead, but spiritually dead. That's what I was, a spiritual corpse. Y'all agree? And you know what the Lord did? He quickened me. You know what quickened means? Somebody tell me what quickened means. He makes you alive. He makes you alive in new birth. What happened to you, wasn't it, Lonnie? He made you alive. When he makes you alive, you see. Larry, I was blind. Now I what? I see. I saw it. Yeah, that's what he did. See, so we see the necessity of hearing the word and believing the word, and then we see three blessings that comes from the word, and that's everlasting life, no condemnation. And then it goes and says that we go from death unto life. See, Rick, you were dead. I was dead. Eddie was dead. Although we're all dead spiritually. And then what happens is the Lord quickens you, which means he gives you life, spiritual life. And you see Jesus and you trust Jesus. And then what's the blessing? Everlasting life, no condemnation. These great blessings, it belongs to God's people. All right. So we've looked at two necessities and we looked at three blessings. And now we want to move on to verse 26. Just a little easy text and then we'll be almost done. For as the Father, verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, and he hath given to the Son to have life in himself. Verse 27. And hath given authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28 and 29. This is what I'm after. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Everybody say, the hour is coming. Do you know when it's coming? Are you ready for it? Yeah, I'm ready for it. Let me say it one more time. Are you ready for it? I'm ready for it. So he says that, marvel not at this, the hour is coming, into which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. There's actually, and you're going to see it in the text, there's two resurrections. It's called the resurrection of the justified and the resurrection of the unjustified. You know, really, when you can figure it all down, there's just two groups of people. Those that are saved, those that are justified. Those that are lost and those that are unjustified. You can classify the whole world under those two places. Whole world under both of them. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Boy, I hate death, don't you? I do. I look forward to when there'll be a new earth and won't be any more death, don't you? Look forward to that. But he says, marvel not at this, the hour is coming. And all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now, this will be at two different times. It really is. It's separated by a time period. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in who? What does it mean to be in Christ? Somebody tell me. It means to be saved. The Bible says if anybody be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things pass away. All things become new. You're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. You're either in or out. I want you to be all in. I really do. I want you to be all in. So, they that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And the first resurrection is a resurrection of the justified. That's the resurrection we'll go in. That's the first thing that's going to happen. And when the Lord comes with that shout, it says the dead rise first. That's what happens. I'd like to be doing a funeral service in the haven of rest whenever that happens. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? We got a lot of people down there that's been buried, don't we? Man, and can you imagine to be down there doing a service about that time? I don't know what the Lord's going to shout. I just know the Bible says he's going to shout. But I do know one thing. In a Jewish wedding, the focus of a Jewish wedding was on the coming of the bridegroom, not the bride. And I know that they would get a procession of people. They get all the family together and they'd be beating drums and shouting and singing and they would take a procession and they would, and he would go, the bridegroom would go to get his bride and he had all these people with him and it's noisy. It looks like a parade. And you know what the shout was? You know what the shout is whenever he come to get his bride? Here's what they'd say. Behold! The bridegroom cometh. Said he'd come with a shout. I'm pretty sure that's probably what it's going to be. The bridegroom's coming. He come in and he get his bride. And all the attendants. And they go Rick into the marriage feast. All God's people say. That's what he does, man. That's a picture of glory. That's a picture of him coming. See. There'll be two resurrections. There'll be a resurrection of the just, the justified, and there'll be a resurrection of the damned. Justified and what else? Two resurrections. Which one do you want again? You want to go into first resurrection. The scripture says that blessed are they that go into first resurrection because on them the second death don't have no power. What's the second death? It's hell. Hell don't have no power on me. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You say, are you afraid of going to hell? Look up here at me. Nope. Not one bit. I ain't worried about it a bit. Because there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So, the second resurrection is called the resurrection of the damned. And we'll say this one more time. It's going to sound rude, but I don't mean it to be that way. I think one of the, we'll try to tone it down a bit. I can't tone it down. I think some of the goofiest people in the world are those that go around and say, I'll be damned. Sorry I say they're goofy, but that's pretty goofy, isn't it? Who would want to be damned? And use such a word as a byword. That's a real thing that's going to happen to people. People's going to be damned that don't know Christ. See, when people use these words as a byword, they have no meaning to them then. That's why people should never say these kinds of things. First resurrection. Second resurrection. Which one you want to go in? The first one. Now turn to Mark 9 and I'm going to close. And I'm going to ask you to trust Jesus today. And again, Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Now this text that I'm about to read, and I'm going to close with it when I'm done. This text will shake you up. It's designed to. It gives you a description of hell in the text. It gives you a description of condemnation since we've been looking at it. And I want you to notice what it says. Verse 43, and we're going to read down to verse 48. And I promise you I'll quit. And if thy right hand offend thee, what to tell you to do? Now, I don't think he literally wants you to cut your hand off, but he's showing you how dangerous it is with regard to sin. How dangerous it is. Sometimes people say, I'd get saved, but I can't give up stealing. He said, well, then cut your hand off. It'd be better for you to lose your hand than have your whole body to be thrown into hell. You see the illustration he's using? I can't keep my, or somebody might say, I can't keep my eyes off women. So he said, then pluck your eyeballs out. So he's just showing you how bad that sin is and how bad that the judgment is. All right, now let me read this. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. Better for thee to enter to life maimed than having two hands to go to hell. And now I want you to listen to this. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. It never shall be quenched. Where the worm does not. Now, when it uses the worm, sometimes it talks about our body. Remember Job said, though the skin worm destroy this body, yet in the flesh I will see God. When it's talking about that the worm does not, it means that these people will get a body that doesn't consume. That's what it means. No, they're not going to just burn up. I listen to the Adventists all the time on TV. They teach you just burn up. That's not true. You don't just burn up. It's an eternal thing. It's a frightening thing. So I'd say that's why it uses such strong language. He said, if you can't, then cut your hand off. Better to go through life without a hand than to have your whole body thrown into hell is what he's saying. Verse 44 says, where the worm dies not, and that's talking about the body. The body don't, look here, where the worm dies not and the fire's not quenched. Verse 45, and if your foot offends thee, he says, cut it off. It'd be better for thee to enter to life or to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell and into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. If your eye offend thee, what's he tell you to do? Pluck it out. He's just showing you how intense this thing is. If your eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to go to enter to... If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than have two eyes to be thrown into hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, does that teach you that you just burn up? I'm asking you. It tells you what it never ends. The body you get never burns up. And it's for how long? Can I ask you a question, beloved? Is anything worth that? I'm asking you. Is anything worth that? Is there any woman worth that? Any man worth that? Is there any sin worth that? Nothing's worth that. That's why I preach. Nothing's worth that. Nothing's worth that. Well, what we did today is we talked about two necessities, hearing the Word and believing the Word. We looked at three blessings, everlasting life, no condemnation, and going from death to life. And then we closed it out by talking about two resurrections, the resurrection of the just, resurrection of the unjust. I want you to go in the resurrection of the just. I want you to go with me. I do. I want you to go with me. I know where I'm going. I want you to go with me. I don't know what in the world you're waiting on, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It's the greatest gamble you ever make. To know the way. You know, part of the torment of hell was people that are there that knew and heard and never believed it. Never trusted it. That'd be tormenting, wouldn't it? All God's people said. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention.